Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Did you know that Dory Olds was blamed for the bombings by Mark Hoffman? By whom? It's a really interesting story, and I hope you check it out.
I've had the experience of the day Mark got bombed. He bombed himself, but the way he got bombed. And we didn't know that initially, that he bombed himself. I didn't believe he was capable of it. I did not believe this. People say, well, do you think he was innocent? Yes, I did think he was innocent. Even though I had these little things inside myself that say, something's off, I believed he was innocent. I did not believe he could bomb people, he could hurt people, he'd kill people. I did not believe he did that. That initially, that was my, I didn't. And so I hear he's gotten bombed in the car, and I get I'm shaking, and my sister drives me to the hospital. We have the LDS hospital. We have a separate room that we're given because of all the media that's there so that we're not disturbed. And I walk into the room, and his parents are there who have been taught that everything's my fault, because Mark would say, that Dory's making me do this. He would be telling them all the time, anything that happened, it was because I made him do that, which is totally ridiculous. But how in the world could I have made him do anything? I don't know. But and they telling me, this is all your fault. If you hadn't wanted the house,
your fault that he was bombed.
My fault, the whole thing. Yes, and just being accosted by them, going, "This is all your fault." Yeah, I was, and I remember thinking, "I have to do something. I got to go out." And they said, "You can't leave the room. You can't leave this room." And it's like, "Yes, I can. I am leaving this room," and walking out of the room into the hallway. No one was there, and hearing this voice tell me, of source, of God, everything's going to be okay. And having this calm peace come over me that is still there today, that I still feel today, calm peace, saying everything's going to be okay. Now I thought, oh, everything's going to be okay. They're going to find out who did this. They're going to see it wasn't him. Everything's going to go away. It's going to be okay. That was my thought. I thought, oh good, this is all going to go away. Well, that didn't happen. But was everything okay? Yes. Everything is okay.
So do you have a good relationship with his parents? Or I don't even know if they're still alive.
I say no.
They're still alive.
His dad died from the stress. I believe from the stress. His dad had a stroke, and then he died. He had a stroke first, and then he died. I think it was from all the stress of this. He couldn't handle what had happened, and he couldn't handle the truth about that Mark could have done this, and he killed him.
His dad died approximately what year?
I can't tell you.
So,
a few years after, not very many. I don't remember exactly how many.
Okay.
A few years after. His mother, we have a truce. I'll call it a truce. We're polite with each other. We're kind to each other. She might tell you a different story. My story is that I've stepped away from her manipulation. That's my story. I'm polite with her. I'm courteous. She's in our life. She's part of the family. When you have kids, you have other family. Even when you get divorced, you don't divorce the family. They're still in your life because you have kids. And so I've made peace with that she's in my life. I don't trust her. I'll put it that way. I don't trust her. But because a lot of the things, there's underlying currents with her and I that it's like, there's bullshit there too. So anyway, but it's like, okay, we can be together and not fight and not, we haven't never had a fight. I've just had realizations about with where she is with me. And she was not that kind to me. She'll say a different story. Like on top kind, underneath not. I guess that's how I put it. But that's my experience. I came into this family excited about being part of their family, excited about, again, this all these dreams, all these things about being accepted and being loved and being kind with, and I came into a hostile environment that wasn't true. But they may tell you a different story, but that's my experience. So it wasn't the happy experience of that I thought it would be.
I
there.
Mean, this kind of boggles my mind. Why would they blame you for Mark getting blown up?
It does make sense. Because one, they don't want to blame their own son. That's the natural automatic.
Well,
two, they were told over and over again, that what happened was my fault. They were told, the reason though, they say, here's the problem, okay? This is the reason they look at. In 1985, Mark was wanting to buy a house. He wanted to buy a really, really big house. I do not know what it was. I don't know what his agenda. I don't know what it meant. I don't know what the status thing is with him of wanting to buy this big house. So we have a house right now. We have a, he and I have a house that is had five bedrooms, three bedrooms up, and then two bed down. And we were constantly, there was no money, constantly having bills. Checks bounce, constantly trying to get insurance paid, constantly trying to get things paid, constantly trying to keep up with everything. It was not a secure thing. It's not a secure place. He was not home much. He wasn't taking care of anything. He didn't take care of the yard. He didn't take care of the house. He didn't take care of the kids. I did all of that. He'd be available for a short period of time or when it looked good to somebody else that he was doing something. But he really, it was all on me. So we had this yard that I had to make sure it got mowed every week, which was really stressful for me to try and do that. Now, it wouldn't be that big a deal, but at that point it was. And so then he wants to buy this house. It has 9 bedrooms. It has an acre of yard. Who's going to mow the yard? Who's going to take care of it? We've got to get furniture to buy this. We've got to have more utilities. We're going to have more insurance. We're going to have, what in the heck are you even thinking? This is totally insane. And I remember having this conversation with him, and he says, you know what? I'm buying this house. It doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter to me anything about what you want. We're buying this house. I am buying this house. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop arguing with him. I'll just play the game. I'm just going to play the game because I have no idea how this is going to even happen. What can even happen with this? So I played the game. And we found a house that actually I really liked. I didn't believe we'd ever really buy it. I didn't believe it would ever really work. But I really liked it, and I had a little fun playing a game that we were buying this house. That is, the house is what Mark told his parents. I made him buy that house. And that was why they were mad at me, saying, this is all your fault, because I was making him buy that house. See? That's why.
That makes more sense.
That's why he was saying that. Because he told them, I was making him buy that house. And I was pushing him, and I was, it's like, and they probably could see the insanity of it too. But it wasn't my insanity, it was his insanity. And I don't know what, for him, I don't know what that meant to him. Whether that meant he made, it's like, what is the meaning of this house to you? Of having the money, he liked to take people out to Lakai, which we couldn't afford it. The money should have gone to bills, but he'd go out to Lakai. I mean, the meals there are $100 a piece, you know, and he'd take all these people who didn't care about him, but they really care, but they enjoyed the party. You know, like people are always, when the party's going on and things are, money's flowing, people are around, when that stops, everyone runs away and they don't talk to you anymore. But he was buying people stuff and he would take it. He liked that. He liked being the center of attention, but I don't know what this house meant. I don't know what, I have no idea. He bought a sports car we couldn't afford. You know, he got that. You know, there's stuff that was happening that, you know, I don't know what we never see. He and I, to really have an honest conversation, you have to be honest. So he would be telling me stuff that I think he'd be honest, but part of me was like, something's off, but that's all I had, was trying to be honest.
And at the time you didn't have any personal strength
to
stand up.
No, I couldn't, yeah. And it was something that was, because I had that choice, you don't have to do this. It was set up for me to go through that. I mean, I was the one, I was the perfect one to do this, to be that wife for me. And I don't know if it was a wake up call for me to wake up and take my life back. And I had to learn how to do that. But it was a wake up call for all the members of the church. It was a wake up call for the leaders of the church. It was a wake up call for a lot of people. It was a wake up call for the authenticating community that authenticated documents, because they all his thing stuff passed all the tests. Right. So the purpose of this, I think it served a lot of purpose in waking people up. And so I say it was spirit inspired to me. That's because it's like, why are you having me marry this guy? You don't have to. Okay, I have a choice. I did love him. And I wouldn't have married him if I hadn't. I did. And May was when I had that realization, May of 79, when I was like, I really love this guy.
What was it? What was attractive to about him?
I don't know. I think part of me wonders if I was given that love, so I'd actually go through this whole experience, because that I needed to have. I had to have that to do it, but I did. I loved him, and there were some things about him when those moments when his genuine self showed up and he had that smile on his face with his genuine self, it's like my heart would just flip over, because his true self, is just awesome. But that only showed up every few little bit.
Well, I mean, can you give us an example of this true self that you fell in love with?
I don't know if I can. Okay. I know that I liked being with him. I had that feeling of love, and I remember I was torn with getting married to him. But I did have that feeling of love, and it felt like the right thing for me to do. And there were moments when I really enjoyed being with him. He was fun. Mm-hmm. He was fun. He had with his kids, when he was with his kids, he loved them. Now, I have to qualify that love, because part of me is like, well, you loved them, but you didn't love them enough not to have the agenda. He put us all in danger. And so part of me is like, well, that's not really love, because he put his agenda before us. Mm-hmm. But yet, when he did love them. So there's this kind of this moment you're in this love, and this moment you're in this love. I don't know how to explain that, but he was sweet with them, very sweet with them, and very loving with them, and had moments of that. And he dearly loved his children. Mm-hmm. And I really loved him. I don't know. I've had a couple of moments in my life where I felt like he dearly loved me. Mostly I didn't feel that. Mostly I felt like I was just being used. So I had moments. Mm-hmm. I remember a moment, and we actually have a picture of this, but when we got married, the day we got married.
Where did you get married, by the way?
In the Salt Lake Temple.
Salt Lake Temple.
Yeah. We went to Log Haven, which is up Mill Creek Canyon, is a restaurant. There was where we had the breakfast after, during the noontime. And there was a little gazebo thing. And I remember being in that gazebo. We were taking pictures and being in that gazebo. And I remember him putting his arms around me and holding me. And in that moment, I felt there was realness. And I felt really a peace. There was a peace in that moment. And there's a picture of that. We have a picture of that moment. And then I think like 5 minutes later, something else happened. And it's like, okay, that's gone now. No, that's kind of what my life was. These little moments of this sweetness, and then the rest was just horrid. That's how I say it. It was, and so I don't know how to explain that, because it's like, what, finding true love, finding love, what is that? And I think love was there, but the agenda was, it's like only moments where the agenda wasn't the drive, wasn't the thing that was focused on. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Yeah.
And so there's the sad thing.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dori Olds. In our next conversation, I'll ask her if she was ever concerned for her safety.
I wasn't.
You weren't.
Until Mark called me.
Okay.
He called me and said, you need to leave the house. You need, because you may be in danger.
I hope you enjoyed that short clip from our next interview. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please go to our patreon.com/gospeltangents and subscribe for just $5 a month. If you'd like a transcript of this, please click the yellow subscribe button at gospeltangents.com, and I'll send you this and all future transcripts. Also, if you'd like a paperback like we've got here, those are available at our website at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents. Please get all updates at our Facebook page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at gospeltangents. You can also get transcripts individually at our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. Finally, make sure that you subscribe on our Apple Podcast page. Just do a quick search for Gospel Tangents there and give us a 5-star review while you're at it. Thanks again for listening. Your support helps create more Mormon history classes and podcasts such as this, and so I really appreciate you listening. Please share with your friends. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our great videos. Thanks again.